Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Dave with me. Dave is the co-founder and creator of Tuova, the world's first social TV network for small businesses and influencers. A digital marketing guru, startup enthusiast, and tech expert, Dave is a man of many talents. Despite being more of an introvert, Dave has been a driving force behind Tuova's success, working tirelessly on software development, databases, automation, 3D printing, robots, and AI. But it wasn't until recently when one of his co-founders passed away that Dave realized it was time to step out of his comfort zone and share his wealth of knowledge with others. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Absolutely. And I would love for you to dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we'll go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh my goodness, if we go way back to, I grew up in computers, technology, and my dad was an electrical contractor. So he would bring home like little switches and motors and batteries, smoke detectors, microwaves, TVs, things like that. And so I kind of grew up just around technology from the very beginning. And so my uncle worked at Dun & Bradstreet, the big business company. And he had given me my first computer at like eight or 10, something really young, back in the day of dot matrix printers. And so I had just spent so much of my time fiddling around with computers and building things that I just kind of molded myself right into computers from the very beginning. And so over time, I built a web design company, built databases and custom software. And so it kind of led one thing to another. I got into video, into audio, and here I am today building out a startup that, it's funny, it's like combining all of the pieces that I've learned, and you never think that you'd be here in 10 years, but you know, here we are.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how that all evolves. It like all starts from like childhood, I think, just the lessons you've learned, the skill sets, and also being able to like play with everything that your dad brought home and things along those lines. And, you know, I know technology is such a huge part of what you do and how you've really created your business as well. But I'm curious, what are some ways that small businesses are utilizing the latest technology to reach their customers in particular?
So some of the ways that they should be using it is some of the things that are not really popular. So most people will say, you know, social media, you got to be on social media, you got to create content. And that's something that when I talk to a lot of business owners out there, they're busy. You know, they're too busy to cut and slice their content, let alone figure out what a hashtag is. Like I would, the guys that I was working with to build the startup, I'd say, all right, you know, here's the app. Let's add something about the restaurant. And they'd say, all right, great pizza. And I was like, no, we got to get a little bit more into this. And then they would write something better and I would rewrite it back to them. And they say, is this good? And I say, put a hashtag. What is hashtag? And I'm like, oh my word. You know, when you're in like a specific industry, you just kind of think that everybody knows it. I mean, you probably do the same thing. You're like, everybody knows what I know, but it's not always the case. So these are always good conversations to have because that small business or that person not doing the one thing, they're not necessarily thinking about that, right? Yeah. So that first piece would be obviously is content. Content is very important, but it's becoming very, very competitive out there. You're going to have better content, better keywords. Oh, I use AI in my content generation. Well, I don't. I make mine creative, and you got all these wars going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one piece. I kind of steered away from this. And we were working in the restaurant world, and it all kind of started with my business partner that he said, I want you to take the plumber, take a picture of his business card. Cause you know how like at restaurants, they would put their business cards up at the front.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you know, you walk by and you're like, oh, I need a plumber or I need an electrician or something. Or, and so he was like, maybe we can make TV on the wall and put the plumbers, put everybody's business cards on there. And I was like, well, you can't do that. It would be too, you know, mosaic, you know, like the graphic quality would be bad. So, and nobody would want to just see business cards. They would want to see other things. So we ended up creating a TV platform called Tweeva where users can add their content to the TV. So I have like this broad area of what business owners should be doing. It's a lot of things. It's the marketing online, and then you have your press releases. You can do those too. You should be generating content, but also this other little piece that business owners have never been able to do is the TV advertising. And so that's kind of what I'm telling businesses about now is it's much different than it's much different than social media, because the TV advertising for local business, you're not wanting a 5 second clip that's super high and somebody glues their eyes to the screen and then they click a button. You're trying to build what we would call a community expert, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take, for instance, a chiropractor. Chiropractor is in a city and he's doing online marketing. But anytime people are out and about, they're at a coffee shop, they are at a Italian restaurant, they're at a dentist's office, mm-hmm. and they're watching some sort of TV, there's nothing local about that. And so we wanted to change this so that instead of it just come on an ad for TV, like I'm, you know, like Superman post, I am the chiropractor, call me today and I'm going to fix your back. It's like cheesy, right? Wouldn't you think that's cheesy?
Yeah.
The newer generation, they're like, yeah, okay. You're trying to fake it. Mm-hmm. So what we're suggesting is create some content. Like, do you know the house, this old house, the show where mm-hmm. they fix up the house.
Right.
And it's funny. It's like, everybody in America knows this. It was on, I think it was like a public broadcast. I don't know if that was PBS. Mm. You know if that was PBS?
I don't recall.
It seemed like it was like a big show.
Yeah.
And so that was more about, hey, let's videotape the work that we're doing and show you that we're the professional, mm-hmm. right? Show you that we're the expert. So I said, okay, let's kind of take that idea, but then bring it to the local business.
Right.
And so now we're teaching businesses how to say, look, develop the content, you know, do what you do online, mm-hmm. but when you do it for TV, you know, you're not trying to do it in 30 seconds. Try to get us a good clip of something that you do expertly, professionally, and something that we can show people so they can both watch it and be and learn that you're that community expert in the city. Because they may not, you know, like, unless they're looking up, oh, best chiropractor. All right, well, that's got to be in your keywords, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I used to joke when I was in web design, I was like, people don't search good looking web designer, great talker, nice family. They just search web design, Florida, because mm-hmm. they don't really know, right. Because you have to be branded. So with the TV advertising, it's a different way of thinking about it. You're not on their mind when they're searching, you're on that passive side of advertising. Kind of like Rolex watches, you know, nobody ever, you know, you don't type in nice watch and then it's Rolex.com. They don't need to do that. Everybody knows the Rolex watches are nice. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's a long-winded answer of things that the business owner should be doing as far as like getting their business out is a plethora of things, but I'm stressing on local TV, become that expert.
Yeah, no, and I so agree with the content piece too, of being able to understand what you're putting out there, like especially where you're talking about the pizza, like saying great pizza versus like what's really behind that, and constantly having to have new content and putting it out there, but content that's going to be captivating for the audience, for your customers to really know that you stand out, because there's so many different pizza places, for instance, yes. Just to use that example. But in what ways can like a local business establish themselves as an expert through the field, through branding? Because I know you were talking about like that solid foundation of just being an expert, but how can they do that?
Yes. So that would be, again, using these different ways of creating that content. So it's going to be, how do I brand myself as the expert? If you're working on someone's back, or if you're a chiropractor, you're going to want to do some of those special, you know, ask them, hey, can I videotape this piece? And then maybe put in captions, because not all TVs are going to be on audio, right? So you have to have your CC, and you're going to want to create content that's a little bit longer flowing, especially for TV. So think about your audience. They might be getting their nails done at the nail salon, or they're getting their hair cut at the barbershop, or they're waiting in line at a medical office, and they look over and they just see, hey, look at that. That's a local TV channel that never existed before. And who are these people up there? Like, you start looking around the room, it's like, it says Bob the plumber. I swear that guy sitting over there is that guy, right? And this is so rare today, because TV channel, I mean, it's huge. It's a big corporate. They used to say, the big corporate fat cats, they take all your money and they make you spend $3,000 for a commercial. And I was like, okay, all right, Mario, we're going to change this. And he was like, yes, we are. So like, that's the thing. He wanted to have people connect that's sitting here, like the plumber was here, the electrician was over there, and somebody that needed a pool was over here. And he would love to run, oh, here's your chicken parmesan, here's your linguine and clams. Did you know him? Oh, he's the greatest guy on earth, right? He was always looking to like connect the local community together. Mm. And so I'm like, this is a great cause for building the community back. Mm-hmm. I say back now, because this was like pre-COVID, right? Like,
yeah,
when everybody was talking, and then we just went to shutdown. I'm like, oh no, what do we do now? No. But we got to build this back, you know?
Absolutely. And I think too, it's just even with like advertising or like having those small businesses, because like what you're saying, you're used to like TV and you don't really connect with people maybe in like a small town, and being able to see them like on TV is a rarity. I'm just assuming, I could be totally wrong. You're the expert here.
You don't. You never see anybody.
No, you don't. Like, I haven't. But despite like TV advertising being dominated by these corporate giants that are out there that most people understand or recognize the brand, what are some of the strategies for small businesses to successfully advertise on TV or on television?
So some of the strategies would be, a lot of businesses have these digital displays and they can show the hamburger up on the wall, maybe live music on Friday nights, and somebody will come in and play at a band. And that's cool. That's awesome. We're a little bit different, because we are that plus the community involved. So like, I put one in my city hall, I could put a Tweeva TV in the city hall. And so now it's showing all the local events that are happening in Apopka. So as a strategy, the small business have to think, okay, where is this being shown? Is it showing outside my city? Is it being shown within 10 miles, 20 miles? What audiences are they at, right? And again, it's about the content being created. So it's not maybe a band playing Friday night. It might be the band jamming, you know, this is what they look like. This is kind of flashy music. And that's already going to attract the people that they want. It's not going to attract the people that don't want that. Like, if I want to go to an orchestra, you're going to see on the screen and be like, oh, it's not interesting, right? But then a minute later, there might be something else. Like, we have in Apopka, we have Saturday night's orchestra at the amphitheater. It's outdoor seating. It's beautiful. And it's so neat, besides the freaking mosquitoes. They're just, you know, Florida.
I guess.
So, but those are the kind of strategies. So number one is get the, you know, I'm going to say get a Tweeva TV. That's my little plug, right? So get a Tweeva TV. Put it in your business and start connecting in with the network, and allow people to start generating content for the TV, because that's really good for the community. You know, like, where's the picture of when the parade goes through town? It's on your phone, right?
Right.
Where else is it? Nowhere.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
It's gone. Yeah. Where's the picture of grandma's 90th birthday party after the server is wiping up the table? And I walk in 2 minutes later, no clue what's going on at all, unless there's like a balloon there. These are kind of neat community things that really should go somewhere, so that when I walk in, you know, I'm busy working and coding all day, and I'm like, last thing I'm thinking about is, oh, have a birthday party here. I'm like, okay, get everybody together. Let's go have some pizza and some food, right? But then I go up there, oh man, there's a great idea. Oh, I should have a birthday party here, right? These kind of little local things, is a completely unique way of looking at that TV. Instead of it coming down one way and just broadcasting something to us, it becomes this now community thing. So there's different strategies that, you know, there's many, many different strategies to talk about of how to, you know, create content for different times of day, different places and locations. Again, if you're creating a 1 or 2 minute commercial of who the business is, there's many, many different ways of going about it, but that gives a good overview, right?
Yeah, no, it gives a great overview. And I'm just curious because I know we touched on it briefly, but what was your drive to start the business, to like really come up with this concept? How did it evolve? I'm just so curious.
Oh, it was a combination of many, many things. So I guess the main thing was we were building out an app for customer ordering, not for like food delivery, but for restaurants and businesses to order from distributors. And so we got to the point where we're like, all right, now we need to do some massive amount of marketing to get into local businesses. And then I think that's when Mario must have said like, oh, if there's another way. He's like, if there's another way, we can do some sort of build TV advertising, something like that, or hand flyers out. And so we worked on it for a little bit, and then it just started growing into this amazing idea. We started searching and looking around going like, nobody has something where you can just walk up to a TV and say, you know, I'm a dog walker. I need to find some people. Like, boop, 5 cents, you know, load your account with $5 and then charge you a couple pennies to put something up on a screen for a couple of days. That's cool. And that helps every small business, you know, try to find somebody locally. Like my sister's a hairdresser. What, is she going to go on Google? You could definitely go on Google, Facebook. You could post on social. But really, if you get coffee someplace and someone's like, you know, I just keep seeing you on that screen. Where do you work? Well, it says right up on their screen. I know, but I just wanted to say hi. Where do you work? Oh, right, kind of here. You want to come by at 10 o'clock? It's this connection piece that it's like the small community, build that back. You know, when you see those old movies and it's like the old truck is driving down the road. And it's like, go talk to Harry down the street, you know, like that's, that would be so cool to have those little advertisements and little pieces of content. So that's short story of how we got there. But like we were saying before is, you kind of take all your talents of what you've learned and you're kind of like, oh no, this is possible. Cause your brain starts thinking, I could do this. I could build this piece, you know?
No, absolutely. And even just like when you were saying the community piece, because we were talking about that prior. And I think it's just, it's such a beautiful thing when you can bring people together and really get back to like these core, like, I mean, maybe they're just my core values, but like being able to really connect people and have that business go back to small businesses. And that's the heart of America, honestly, that has been built on entrepreneurship, small businesses, and driving customers to those businesses where they can have that connection with the owner. They can have those conversations. They can say, hey, I'm seeing your face everywhere. What do you do?
Yes, you exactly. Know? I keep seeing you. Yeah, you're working on this, or you're the plumber guy. I keep seeing you. And yeah. It's funny because we did a mistaken test. We called Cisco and we said, hey, you know, they're getting their food there. We say, hey, you have any pictures of like desserts and stuff? Cause we're ordering these cakes from you. So can you send me? So they sent us like this low quality fork cutting into cheesecake. And it was maybe a 60 second commercial. And since it was right in the beginning, we started playing it. And then I asked him like, I don't know, 30 days, 40 days later, I was like, hey, you sell any more chocolate cake? And he's like, I can't keep it on the shelf. And I was like, what? No, not from a little commercial. I mean, this piece of chocolate cake is being cut. And then Mario leans in and goes, David, you did not know people eat with their eyeballs.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Cause you know, I'm code. I'm like, there's a semicolon missing. I have a bug somewhere. And he's like that. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like this is so true. People see it and then they want it. So it works the same with a lot of things. Remember that Coca-Cola thing when the most intensive, what was it, 20s or 30s, that big test Coca-Cola did on people, most intensive time of the movie. And then they just showed a dripping glass of Coca-Cola.
Yes.
It's probably something like that, like subconscious, but that's the branding behind it. It's like, A lot of people drive two cities over to find the best person, or they may have a contractor drive three cities over. And I've done it before. It's like, oh, I need my AC fixed, or where are you from? 45 minutes away. 45 minutes. Wow. Like, you can't find business in your own city? I mean, is there any way that we can help with that? You know, so he doesn't have to drive an hour each. He could do two jobs in the time that he's doing that, you know? So those are the kind of things that if we could help businesses, we create more efficiency, we help them connect locally. They're probably going to be eating at the same restaurants at some point, right? So I'm like, hey, Joe, how's it going? Oh yeah, how are your kids? It's again, back to that relationship piece, which is, we're missing it. You know, a lot of people are on their phones. They're at the bars. I'm not a big drinker, but a lot of people, they do this now. When they used to be like, you know, in the Cheers or something, right? They'd be talking. So anything we can do to bring it back to, instead of 10 screens, let's put one gigantic screen up, you know?
No, I think that's so spot on in order to be able to bring people back to connect, communicate, and really understand like what their needs are, but building a relationship. And I think that's the basis of everything is relationship building, because you can have a phenomenal business, but if you can't build those partnerships and those relationships, how are people going to come to you? They might once or twice, but having that consistent business or word of mouth, the referrals, and just being able to understand too, it's, you're creating a community. And that's one thing, like I was telling you before, I love connecting people because I feel like there's enough for everyone to go around. It's just being able to find what those needs are and filling those, but you can do that in your own backyard as well.
Yes. Yes. Finally, because this is like something that never existed. So it's so neat because I get to create something and build something, but then it's, you get that little pushback. It's like, no, I've never done that before. So I equate it with, imagine trying to go to a business owner and tell them, hey, you should create this Facebook business page. And they're like, what's Facebook? Right. Imagine it was still in the college and you're like, no, it's for businesses. And he's like, no, it's for college. You know, then you have this knowledge gap, I call it. And it's like, you got to try to traverse it using some sort of psychology. It's like, how do I get the guy to want it? You know, how do I show him that it's going to bring more people to his business? You know, and that's a whole nother game. It's like, you know, besides programming and building, then you're on the marketing. So it's crazy.
It's a whole nother world.
It really is.
But speaking of a whole nother world, I know AI is a big part of what you've done. And I know it's really complex. People are still like figuring it out, learning about it. But what are some of the practical ways for small businesses to take advantage of its benefits that it does offer?
Yes. So my wife thinks AI is scary. And I'm like, I think I program AI. Like, you know, most people, AI is a gigantic algorithm, right? If you're, so if you are, my kids like a certain video game. So if they're, I'm a zero on their video game, right? My interest level on the algo, I'm a zero. They might be a four or a five. So if a business has to think about how do you train the AI, how do you use AI? It's just a series of numbers and algos that can help you identify things that may be important or not important for your customer. Right. So there are tools out there for emailing people based upon their preferences of what time of day. So if you send out, let's say 5,000 emails and 4,000 of them are not getting hit at the wrong, they're getting to their mailbox, but they're getting there at the wrong time. Now he's, oh, I'm in delete mode. Delete, 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 delete. Right? Gone, 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 gone. Oops. Oh, was you're gone. I didn't know you anyway. Okay. Gone. So the AI is now saying, okay, when did he open his last four emails? Let's take us. Okay. It's at 8:53. So let's send this at 8:52. So it looks like it's brand new. This is across 5,000 people, which you could never, nobody would ever think like, oh, John opens his email at this time. Sally opens his email at this time. So these are the kind of things that AI could definitely help with. Then you have content creation. AI can help with it. I was on a show the other day and they were like, you don't want to, I think their reference was, don't make your wife's anniversary card with AI.
Oh yeah. No.
and he's like, I feel bad about it. And the joke was like, I feel bad about it, but it was really good. I'm like, she'll know. Come on. Like, Your wife would be like, yeah, right, honey. You're sure you're right. That one. Okay, whatever. You can't sign your name on the last check without rewriting it twice. There's no way you wrote that. But you can use it as a guide, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can use these pieces like ChatGPT, and you can mm-hmm. use, there's other tools out there that are incredible, but they really give you the piece. You're like, what am I going to write about today? Okay, give me the top 10 keywords about my business. Oh, that's a great idea, right? Oh, the third one down. That's a great idea. You don't want to copy and paste them and say, this is exactly what I do, but it mm-hmm. just gives you that first piece into it. I use things for AI, like linking people together. Okay, if you are interested in this subject and you walk into a bar with Tweeva TV, then most likely let's say motorcycles, dogs, and what else would it be? Surfing. You should probably see ads for something related. You shouldn't be seeing ads for something that's not related, because the advertiser's then just paying money out for something when nobody's sitting there. So if you walk in and I walk in and it's a conglomeration of businesses and ads based upon what that person's interested in a way that's AI, because you're saying, okay, give me all the information and I'm going to select best based upon highest priority of this information, that this is going to be the best converting ad for this person. And that's kind of that AI. So more and more tools are coming out. If you're an accountant, there's AI tools for accountant. I'm sure there's AI tools probably for video podcasting now, imagine, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there is.
Definitely lean a little bit into those and start researching them. If you're a small business and you're afraid, just start reading about it, look at the benefits, because that's the next wave, I think.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I'm obsessed with chat GPT. I always have to say to my head, obsessed with it, because it's so helpful. And like, obviously I don't copy and paste it, but like, I'm able to just get a little like clear on what I'm trying to say, or if I like, I'm trying to just get very clear on a message that's more captivating than maybe what I can think of. And it definitely helps. But what you said about the video too, there's, one of my colleagues just told me about it the other day and it's escaping me, but you can take like your YouTube videos and be able to like pull videos like from 15 minutes.
The one that cuts it or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw something like that.
It's escaping me right now. I think it starts with an L.
I don't know.
Anyways,
but I'm looking at those too, because it's like, think of the time that you save.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Night and day, hours. Yep,
it really is. The funny thing I have to tell you, I you know, was creating some information with ChatGPT, just kind of giving me the broad view. So I just copied and pasted it and I brought it in and I said, hey, to my kid, I said, hey, read this. And she goes, wealth of knowledge. Who wrote this, Dad? And I was like, well, I am a wealth of knowledge. She's like, no, you're not. Sometimes you have to edit it down. You have to say, okay, with this or that, or, you know, it's giving you a broad view and you have to just take those pieces into your own writing skills. But it's funny. It's very powerful.
I believe that. And just speaking of kids, I am curious, what has it been like balancing or just integrating fatherhood and entrepreneurship for you?
Crazy, crazy. Yeah. Probably should have had five people doing so. As entrepreneurs, we always get stuck. You know, we were talking about before, I can do this. I can go do this. I can go build this. I could do the logo. I can do this. I could do the marketing. And you have to learn that balance of when is enough, or turn this off now and then turn this other piece on. And one of my friend's dad, or he told him, see, we were in business together, and he said, my dad ran a successful insurance company, but he said, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur or small business or owner or something like that, you have to be able to turn on and off work and personal life. So you're eating dinner, an emergency comes in, you pick up from the table. Okay, hold on 1 second. You're screaming, you get that done. And then you turn off that attitude, whatever you have, you become father again. And you sit down at the table and you're just that. You don't bring that like, oh, this guy, I can't believe you did this. And then kids don't want to hear about that. They're living their little lives right now and everything's special and amazing. So there is a balance. I'm not the perfect one at this at all, but you learn, you know, over time what works and what doesn't. But I always take that one with me. I'm like, all right, got to learn to turn off there for a second. And you know, be part of everything else that's going on. Cause my brain, I loves to be in a million different places. We were talking about that, yeah. Right? You have similar.
Yes.
So it's entertaining.
Oh, of course, because our minds just go a mile a minute. Sometimes we're like, oh, I can do this too. And I want to do this. And sometimes it's being able to take that step back and realizing, okay, this is too much. How can I like focus in on certain things? And I'm just curious because a lot of times it's being able to delegate certain tasks and being able to invest. And what are some of the benefits from advertising for small businesses why they should invest in advertising for their business?
Well, that's the most important piece. So being stuck behind, you know, the behind the scenes is fun. And it's probably, I wouldn't say it's less risky or anything like that, but it's just being out there and being part of the community is the most important thing. And I think a lot of people get stuck with, people will find me if they need me. But have you ever been in a place in life where you're just like, you think that you know everything about a certain subject and you could be live there for like a year? He's like, no, I know I'm doing the right thing. And then like a year later, you're like, man, how did I do that?
Yep.
But you know, for like a fact that when you were there, it was the right way.
Right.
And so that's the constant battle, I think, of many business owners. And that one thing is like, advertising is risky, or it's this, or it's that. It is, but over the course of time, it gets you out there and you find new customers and new people. And now I'm trying to, bring it down because the TV is so dang expensive. So it's like in my head, I'm like, well, is it a cost thing for businesses? I don't know. Is it a block for them? They don't know how to create content. Okay. Well, now AI can help with that. But if at least I can help them with the cost thing, I developed a platform for that piece, but it is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Really is.
I completely agree with that because I do think it's being able to have somebody who's an expert in that area, because you can't be an expert at everything. Like what you're saying, like there's times that I thought, I know all this, but the more I learn, the less I know, basically.
That's like when we get older, you're just like, oh yeah. I remember knowing like Photoshop and Dreamweaver and all of the Adobe products, like the ins and outs of it. And then, millions of people start to use them, and then you become extreme experts at certain subjects within tech, because now I jokingly, they're like, oh, you're in tech. I'm like, grandma's in tech. Stop. Everybody's in tech now. Like you were walking around with an iPad 20 years ago. You're like, wow, he's smart. Now it's like everybody has them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to be that community person, and people don't know you're smart. Like I said, people get stuck in that little routine, like, oh no, my back just hurts when I bent it this way. That's just what happens. So I just don't bend that way. And there's somebody to help with that. Mm-hmm. But we don't know them because you never searched it. So how can we get that person out and about? So it's like, better. I feel better. Okay. I've seen 5 testimonials now. I've seen this guy and he's like 2 miles from me. Well, most likely he's not 45 minutes away. He doesn't have maybe he has a 5-star rating. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's this mental problem, mental gap that you're like, oh, I can't call him. Right now he's so close that we want to help. Right. That's the main point. So that's kind of that. Yeah.
I love how you put that, because I think it's true. It's honestly, you have to like see it a few times before you actually will do it. But once you do it, you feel better, or it's less on your plate and you're able to focus on the other things that you want to focus on, the service that you're providing, versus having to split things, be really thin of like what you have left of your capacity to do things.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're half tired, doing those things. You're like, this could be done better early in the morning. And if 5 other people are doing these tasks, then it leaves you for the next piece, and to grow and to build. So that's all. It's constantly a learning experience. Cause I was talking with I think it was a podcast or coach or something. And they're like, what are you stuck on? And I was like, I'm stuck on thinking that I know everything, I guess, or that you're like, everybody's on a level. And then the guy above, it's like, well, he's on a different level. He's like, oh, I was there 2 years ago. So every level that we're at, we're like, all right, now I'm starting to think, okay, what kind of level am I? How long have I been here? How can I get to the next level? And Right. You still got to do your daily things, but that's something in the back of my mind. I'm like, okay, just remember that. You might not know everything.
It's true. You can be an expert in some area, but it's also when you get new information or encounter somebody different, it makes you think in a different way, or it gives you perspective of something that triggered something that tweaks something very tiny, but it allows another opportunity because you talked about it, you absorb the information they were saying. And a lot of times they're like roadblocks of, I know I've had a lot, I'm extremely stubborn in general, but once I finally get it, and I've been told like a million different times from different people, I'm like, oh, okay.
That's the thing. It's like, that's what I would call it too. I'm like, it's the stubbornness of me of saying like, no, this is probably the way to do this, or no, this is the right way. You know? It's worse totally if you have two other people thinking the same thing, three other people, you know?
Yeah.
You could go for years like this. I'm like, wow.
Oh. And just even with the mindset too, I'm curious, did you have any obstacles as you've been building this? What have been some of like one or two obstacles you faced?
A lot of obstacles. I would say probably the first one would be the not knowing if it's out there. There's like a mind game of trying to build something and then the technology doesn't exist. So you're trying to build the technology and you're wondering, okay, is some other big company going to come in and try to build this thing? And then you could get stuck there. And again, it's that wondering why. And then you have another obstacle of, I spent 3 or 6 months developing this piece and now the customer may not want this, right? And so that was part of the, I'll try to connect this in. So when you think you're doing the right thing for a long period of time, or even just a couple months, and then later on, like a year later, 2 years later, you figure out like, oh, there is a different way. You have to go in and talk to the customer, figure out what they need, then fix that one or two problems. And then they can tell all their buddies like, hey, you know, the problem that we always talk about, this guy fixed it. But if you kind of put yourself in a box and you start saying, I'm going to fix the world's problems, there's like 90% wasted, 80% wasted. Like, you know, there's a lot of wasted time.
Right.
And so like you're saying, if you talk to the person, you're like, wow, okay, no, it's this way. No, it's that way. You figure out that different way of thinking and then you can solve a problem because you're not actually in the problem. So that's probably a big issue that a lot of entrepreneurs think that they can solve other people's problems, you know, unless you're in the thick of it with them hand in hand and saying, okay, show me what you're doing. You know, in the software development world, I used to watch secretaries and business people. And I'm like, so what does she do? Oh, she does this, and then she takes that and scans this and puts it in that folder and then does it. And I'm like, why don't you can script it. Just go down, file, edit, blah, blah, blah. No way. It's like, yeah, it's like 2 hours a day for 10 years doing that way. And maybe the technology doesn't always exist like that, but it's like, you didn't know that you didn't know.
Right.
You know, so these like roadblocks are there, but it can free up that time to be the best you are, that 100% you when you are there, you know?
Right. Yeah, so. No, it's so true. And it's amazing like what one tweak can do and like save time and energy and just the whole process. It might be uncomfortable to change that process right away, but being able to see how much is freed up when you do that. And yeah. I know you've had some success, a lot of success, but can you share maybe just one or two success stories with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are building out, you know, the product and we're getting it pushed out. So the patent finally made it to the office and we're like, okay, this is great. And so that's a big number one win. It's not completely approved yet, but it's getting there to the next level. And then the second one would be the fundraising aspect of it. We thought we would go in and talk to a bunch of VCs in, you know, California, and they'd be like, yeah, you know, some guy came without this 5 years ago and it never worked. Everybody that we talked to is like, this is a freaking amazing idea. We love it. You know, keep going. You got to get some traction. You got to build this. You got to do these couple things in the background. It's like, oh, that's what we weren't doing that for the time in development. So it's like funny how you talk to somebody a little bit outside, not even in your industry, but like funding the industry and like, oh, you got to do A, B, and C, you know? And so that was kind of where I was pulling those from is I could have been doing this 2 years ago. And then this would have been a definite, absolute, here's a check, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a success for us, is just meeting people, finding people that love the product and say that, you know, it's not a competitor out there. We're first to market. It's exciting. It's like an exciting journey that you're building, and you're kind of like looking out there going like, okay, get the binoculars. Where are we going? Okay. Well, there's still a road out there, so we can keep moving, you know?
Yeah. And it's the first of its kind. And I think it's such a phenomenal idea and can really help so many people too. And that's what like sparked my interest of like, wait, what is this? How does this work? Yeah. But I love what you guys have created and been able to start putting out there, and the patent's going to go through. What was the process of the patent? I'm just curious of like, not every detail, but if you want to share a little bit about that.
It's, well, first you kind of make just an outline of what you would try to protect. And then once you have like that basic outline, then you have to go in and write heavy paragraphs of what the features are. And so I thought, I'm so smart, I can do this piece, you know. And then they said, oh, we got to letter and number all of the sentences that have to do with something. So it's like, all right, if this process is when somebody walks into a location, what is the person walking in with? Mobile device has to be 1.A. Okay, 1.A here. Yeah, 1.A here, but then it's 2.B over there because you're referencing in a different paragraph on a different figure. So you think in the very beginning that it's semi-complicated, and then you figure out it's very complicated. And then you think you're done. And then the lawyer will come in, and then he writes it in what I call gibberish. Like it's like, and it's like that, what kind of... it's kind of like Latin or something. It's like legal jargon for patents. And then when you try to reread it, you're like, thus on a memory processor. What's that? You're like, oh, that's the phone. It has to say memory processor or random access memory for RAM. You have to spell out all these little pieces. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated, but it's nice to know that you have some sort of protection, you know, moving forward. So definitely, if you have an idea, that's your first thing. Have your anybody that you talk to, non-disclosure, right? So number one, if you, hey, I got this great idea, sign this non-disclosure, mom. Seriously? Yes.
That's smart. Good
Just advice. Get that done. And then trademark your business too. Trademark's actually a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. You know, so you talked about that with people, but trademark's a great first level of protection.
I could completely agree with that. And I'm just curious because I know like it's so good to hear that because we haven't really talked about patents on here. So that's why I was like, let's dive into that.
I could talk a long time. I wrote 4 patents, and it's a lot of work because you have to sit there and think about, even, I think they're good for 20 years. So you have to think about in 20 years, what it could possibly do. You know, it's not like a chair. Like they said, you could write a patent on a 5-legged chair or a 6-legged chair. Okay. But if you're talking about a technology, you're trying to think like, what technology will exist in the future that I would want protection for? If there's a flying car, are they going to have a display on it? If there's a drone with a display on it hovering over a crowd of people, I don't know. You just have to kind of, it's weird. It's a completely different aspect than logic. Logic is like yes or no. This one's like, what if?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of like futuristic thinking, but it also allows the creativity to flow too. And just with your journey, I would love to know maybe just one or two tips for entrepreneurs on this journey that could really be beneficial that you've learned or in the process of learning or anything along those lines.
Don't stop. Always. I mean, probably most entrepreneurs, they're like, I've never stopped. Just take a coffee break or take a little bit of a break, walk outside every once in a while. I've had like little burnout times when I'm just like, oh, and my wife will say, just go outside. I'm like, no, I have 5 more things to do. I just have to write this thing, this and this. Just go outside, you know, do something for 5 minutes. It's amazing, the change. I helped a guy 10, 15 years ago. He was like 80 something. And he was like, I want to publish a book. So he was on he's an author, and he wanted to publish a book, and he's like, you're an entrepreneur. You work from anywhere. And I was like, yeah. He's like, how much time do you actually get to spend time with your kids? I'm like, well, not that much, but, and he's like right there. You could look back and say, oh, I spent an hour a day at 10 o'clock or 10:30 to 11:30, or a half an hour here and a half an hour there. And that's what makes your life different than being somewhere else. So take a little break here and there. It'll give you a breather, but then a good to-do list, you know, so you feel accomplished. And then that little break here and there will definitely break up the day, and it'll make you feel like $1 million, especially after that little break. So that's probably good two tips. And then look into AI. Maybe it'll help you.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of that for the patent. I was like, did you write it? Use that? But I'm kidding.
No, that actually wasn't out yet. That was a couple of years ago. So okay. That probably would have helped. That would have definitely helped. But then, you know, I would be worried like someone could take it because it's a learning AI, right? So at least ChatGPT, I have all the information coming in. Some big wigs have said that, like, stop training the AI. Because everybody, think about it, millions and millions of people are asking questions. It's figuring out what we're leaning towards, you know? So yeah, it might not be a good place for a patent, but give me some basic patents. That would have helped. Patent searches, that takes a long time to do.
There you go.
Why, are you going to write a patent?
Everybody.
You got any ideas?
Now I know what to do. I don't have any at the moment, but I'm sure somebody else does listening.
Oh yeah. We all got this idea. You got to find somebody out there that dabbles a little bit in it and then can kind of walk you through it. You know, if there was a screen somewhere and it said like guy that just walked in, like, this is my imagination, like coffee shop, Dave is here. Who's Dave? Startup nerd, likes dark places, you know, likes to code, patent holder, looking for funding, you know, building funding. You never know. I mean, you could do that or not, but it would be neat because not everybody connects. You know, you've been to like a restaurant, like with your fiance or your husband or something, and you're like, that couple over there, are they like, is that going to be us when we get older? Right? Do you ever say that? Or you're driving in, you're in traffic and you look over and you're like, they're not talking at all. Yeah. But we kind of get stuck there. A lot of us do. And so if there was something like, oh, I got to talk to that guy. Hold on. I know exactly what he looks like. Or he was here 10 minutes ago. And you see that a couple of times, you're like, oh, I'll just get here 10 minutes earlier. Maybe I can meet him, talk to him, something. Mm-hmm. Again, local connections, people living here in your city, in your town. There's like people legitimately struggling with things that could be fixed with our basic neighbors most of the time within a couple hundred homes. And you'd think 2023, man, you imagine our grandparents, it's going to be so amazing in 2023. They're not flying cars and this, there'll be no problems. If they looked at our searches right now on Google, they'd be like, oh my goodness, right? They still have problems with this stuff.
I believe it. But I've been so enjoying this conversation, Dave, but where can people find you? Everything that you're up to. We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, sure. So you can visit me at tweeva.com. That's the main site. And connect.tweeva.com is where I kind of put like a, if you're a business owner or if you're an entrepreneur or if you're an influencer, you want to create content for the network. That's kind of like one of those, like a link tree kind of setup. So that's kind of an easy place. But, you know, on social media, anywhere, we got a cool, unique name. Just hit me up, send a message, and I'd love to chat with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for coming on, sharing everything you're up to, what you're doing for small businesses and influencers. I think it's so incredible and needs to be talked about more. So thank you again for just coming on and sharing your journey.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed the conversation. It was great.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Dave today? I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and we will see you on the next episode.